Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be learning the laws of sickness. This is Simon Kuf Tzadi Beis 192 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And you ask yourself, what does that mean, the laws of sickness? How are there laws of sickness? And the answer is that it's not so much about the laws of being sick, but it's rather how we relate to sickness. Judaism is something to say, guidance, framework, perspective, when it comes to so many aspects of our life, even, unfortunately, the more difficult parts of our life as well. As we move into this section now, this section of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch deals more with the disease, end of life, and unfortunately Avelus, which is this unit of ideas which we're about to enter into now. We're now going to talk about four different concepts today. Number one is the attitude we have to sickness. Number two is medical treatment. Number three is healing with forbidden items. And finally, contact with the opposite gender in healing. Let's go to the background. The Gemara teaches us the name of Yitzchak in the Bereder of Yehuda, the son of Rav Yehuda, the following statement. A person should always request mercy from Hashem not to get sick. A person should, when they're healthy, daven to Hashem that they remain healthy. Because if a person does get sick, that at this point in time, when a person, God forbid, does become sick, then a person does need to request to bring zechuyos, merits, to exit that sickness. Which means to say, just to understand what this means, is it's easier to pray to be healthy than it is to leave sickness. So it's so important for us to daven, to appreciate our health while we have it. Unfortunately, for those who've experienced health challenges or those who are exposed to others who are experiencing health challenges, it's important to vicariously appreciate those experiences in the way that one can daven more fervently and more carefully about one's own experience as well. We had a few basic questions. How should a person relate to illness in general? So the Kisra gives a pretty graphic description. He says, if a person has a headache or like more of a minor ailment, it's like they should view themselves being bound up in chains. If they're lying sick in bed, it's like they're being taken for trial, being taken to the platform for their life. So what are we supposed to do about that? So he points out that this is like really a court case, that a person should view sickness as some degree of a court case, and therefore they need to take the necessary measures to escape, to come out innocent. He goes on to explain that even if there's 999 plaintiffs accusing a person, nonetheless, I mean, if one has one good defendant, he can be saved. What are defendants? They are teshuva and ma'asim tovim. They are charity and good repentance and good deeds. Now, what should a person do if they have a sick person in their home? So what are the courses of actions that they should do? So number one is they should go to a sage, a person who's a chacham, a wise person, and ask that person to pray on their behalf, because that person's prayers have a further reach than the average person. So ask them to pray on one's behalf. More than that, one should give charity. Number three is one should pray, of course. And in certain more challenging circumstances, there's a notion of what's called shinui hashem, changing one's name. Generally speaking, today we don't change names. We're more cautious about that. We add names if a person's in dire circumstances. And finally, one should ask to have a mishaberach, a blessing for the sick person done in shul. And this is done even on a Shabbos and Yom Tov if the people are critically ill. Generally, we add a extra statement, a modified statement at the end. Shabbos hi b'lizok or Yom Tov hu milizok, that we're not supposed to cry out on Yom Tov, just because sometimes the people mentioned in those mishabarachs aren't critically ill, and you're not supposed to daven for personal requests which aren't or pikuach nefesh on Shabbos necessarily. But these are some of the things that a person should be doing. We now move to our second concept, and that is medical treatment. So we know that the Torah teaches us v'rapoi yirapei in Parashas Mishpatim, and the Gemara from here, the Gemara in Baba Kama, learns out that mikan shenitna ha'Torah rishus l'roi felei shirapei. The Torah gives permission for the doctor to heal. It's important to frame it in that way. We need the Torah to allow us to use this methodology in order for us to be able to use it. Meaning to say, it's not for granted, of course I go to the doctor. The Torah says you're allowed to use medical technology. You're allowed to go to a doctor as the form that Hashem will process. So let's understand this over here. So why is it wrong for a person to go the opposite direction and say, I'm not going to call a doctor, I'll be all right? So it's forbidden to do that because you're relying on miracles in life-threatening situations, and it also brings a person to judgment. Also, It becomes an extra sin of arrogance because a person thinks that they should merit to have a recovery, even though perhaps they without doing the necessary work. What is the obligation of a physician, a doctor? So a doctor has a responsibility to heal, and this is the commandment of saving lives. If a doctor refrains, he or she is considered shedding blood, even if there was another doctor available, because not everybody is able to receive refuah from one doctor. May anyone practice medicine? No, the answer is no. Only one who is an expert and is more competent than others may practice, but otherwise it's considered bloodshed for a non-practitioner to be offering medical acumen. If I have medicine that a neighbor needs, may I charge more because the demand is high and the supply is little? The answer is no. It is forbidden to raise the price unfairly when somebody is in the need of healing. This is pikuach nefesh. We move to our third concept, that is healing with forbidden items. What happens if you have a non-critically ill person and they want to use prohibited items for healing? So if there are other alternatives, they may not use anything, they may not take any foods or supplements which are not kosher or forbidden items. What if there are no alternatives? So even if it's only rabbinically prohibited, it's an isur derabbanan, the sick person may only use it in a way that's shaloi kaderech hanah, in a way that's not the way of usually getting pleasure from it. So for instance, mixing it into a bitter potion or drink or making it into a dressing or ointment. Is this true of Isurei Daras, even biblical Isurim? So the answer is yes, except for Kilei HaKerem and Basar Rechalev, which are Isurim, even Shaloi Kederech HaNah, even the way you don't usually get a benefit from this. Are there exceptions to the above? So some Poskim in the Kitzur Records allow rabbinically prohibited items, even in their regular manner of enjoyment, if they're not ingested as well. There's more to be made of the rabbinic prohibitions as well. It's worthwhile noting that the OU Psak, when it comes to this, is that when it comes to swallowing pills, because swallowing pills is shloika derech achila, then one does not have to be concerned about the kashrus of that pill. This does not extend to gel caps, swallowables, chewables, or flavored or liquid medications, but as a pill, which is a solid pill, which one swallows, one does not need to be concerned about this because of this concept. What if the illness is in fact life-threatening? So then all prohibitions are overridden and a person may take those medications. But, of course, there are three prohibitions in the Torah which are the cardinal sins a person cannot transgress even for pikuach nefesh, and they are murder, incest, and idolatry. And that means to say is that, like the Gomorrah in Sanhedrin describes, that if a person is deathly ill and the solution is relationship with a person of the opposite gender that's forbidden for them, they can't do that, even if the person is critically ill, and this might be the solution. Or if it relates to Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. You can't kill somebody to save another person's life. So pikuach nefesh has limitations as well. We finally move to the last topic today, and that is contact with the opposite gender. May a male physician treat a woman, including physical contact? So the Kitzur says yes, even to a married woman, if, of course, done professionally and not immorally. What about treating one's own spouse during the period of nidus? If it's the doctor's own wife who is a nidah, and there's another competent doctor, then he should refrain from treating his wife during such a stage. May a man treat a woman with an abdominal illness? So no, this is a concern. There's a concern for a doctor in terms of arousal there, but a woman may treat a man who is weakened in such a state as well. So there has to be parameters, of course, when it comes to this as well, when it comes to this sensitive topic. With this, we conclude some of the aspects of the halachic and also spiritual aspects of illness itself. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.